ask today that as we listen to the, you know, learn more about you today, that your grace would be here. I ask that you'd open the ears of our heart that we may hear, and open our hearts so that the grace that is here today, we will allow that to change our lives. Lord, fill us with more love for you and one another. Make us more like you. Lord, I ask that you'd show us your ways today. Lord, you say that when we see you, we become like you. And Lord, I ask for everyone here that we'd have a glimpse of Christ today. Every day we'd continue to see you. I ask for your grace and your blessing in this place today. And in the name of Christ, we just come against any evil scheme today as we listen, and in the authority of Christ, we just refuse permission. We declare freedom here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated.
The title of my message today is You Get to Choose. I'm going to start with a little story that I tried to tell when I was preaching a few weeks ago, and I gave you the vibe of it, but, you know, just couldn't remember off the top of my head. But it's an old, like a parable. It's from the American Indians, natives. It's a Cherokee teaching. So a grandfather is teaching his grandson about life. And he says, "A fight is going on inside me," he said to the boy. "It's a terrible fight. It's between two wolves. One is evil. He is angry. He is anger. He is envy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego." He continued, "The other one's good. He is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. And the same fight is going on inside you. Inside every other person too." The grandson thought about it for a minute and said to his grandfather, "Well, which wolf's going to win?" And the old Cherokee simply replied, "The one you feed." You get to choose, and what you consume consumes you. Today I want to talk a bit about listening prayer, but just our attention towards God. It's actually one of our values, and our value is listen. Our first calling is to find God, and we spend time and pay attention. Let's read some of Isaiah 55. "Come, everyone who is thirsty, come to the waters, and you without money, come buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why do you spend your money on what is not food and your wages on what doesn't satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and you will enjoy the choicest of foods. Pay attention and come to me. Listen so that you will live." The prophet Isaiah wrote this, but it's from God. That's not from Isaiah talking. That's a direct message from God to his people. It's a call to listen. Who here has been to New York? Probably not too many. I know Jackie and Faith just went. A few of you been? I've been. What I learned from being in New York, that is if you go to the bottom subway station on the peninsula near the World Trade Center, and spend time there and then say to your dad, "Hey, the only thing I really want to see in New York before I go home is the Empire State Building. Let's walk there and then we'll get a ride, like a subway, a train home." Anyway, by about 10 o'clock, we'd got to about Wall Street, which isn't very far up. Dad likes looking in shops. So we got a subway station about Wall Street and went back to our motel. So I never got here. I never got the Empire State Building. But everyone knows this place, right? This is Times Square, you know, massive place, really popular on New Year's Eve. And our world has become a constant feed of information and entertainment. As you know, phones go everywhere. In fact, I'm really annoyed at the moment because my phone has dropped 4G. So not only does my phone go everywhere, now my iPad and my phone go everywhere, so I can hotspot my phone to my iPad so I can get internet and text. So phones go everywhere. We're constantly connected to the internet. And as you can see, on every flat surface, there's either a 24-hour news cycle or entertainment or advertising. I hope all those pictures are safe for human consumption. So every bit of information enters our mind with one goal, to gain control of our attention and our resources. And with so much information battling for space in our mind, it's no wonder that our attention span seems to be shrinking. Whether it is or not, that's another thing. But go and have a look at a TV show from 10 years ago, then 20, then 30, then 40, and you realize that the scene cuts get shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter. And if you watch a TV show now, it's constantly cutting. Where a movie 20 years ago seemed to be a camera in the corner of the room and they just record what went on. You know, they have to keep your attention. Just watch it on TV, how often the scene changes. Like you might say every 3 to 5 seconds, but have a look how quickly that changes. It's interesting how users, us, abandon online videos that do not start playing within 2 seconds. Yeah. You ever been on a slow connection and you play YouTube click and you see that little red line going up? I've had enough of this. And users with faster internet connectivity seem to be more impatient than those with slower connectivity. You know, the faster we think we can get information, then we become, I guess, less grateful or more expectant that should be there. I mean, who could run a house on dial-up these days? Yet, you know, 12 years ago, we thought that was incredible. Do you remember that sound the phone used to play when you're and then someone rings out, get off the phone! dial-up was fun. So we all relate to small distractions and big distractions, but they drive us away from significant goals and it seems to go unnoticed. So we become people who maintain a large and a perfect home, and that becomes more important than taking care of the people inside it. And we become people who spend more time on Facebook than caring for the friends who are actually in our, you know, like the friends we should care about. And we tend to spend our money and our opportunities on newer and trendier things, which diverts us from, you know, the greater good, the great goals. So these are distractions that cause irreversible harm in our lives, but unfortunately they go unnoticed and our lives go unevaluated. We just turn on year after year, not even thinking about what we're doing, and our greatest goals go unmet. A little aside for a minute, call and response. Just talk about this for 2 minutes. Everything you see in this world, or especially especially with God and creation, is all about call and response. It starts right in Genesis 1 with our creation. So God says, let there be, or then God said, and the response, and it was so. And if you read through that Genesis account, it's God said, and it was so. God said, and it was so. And there's this, it's almost like music, you know, this rhythmic, this pattern. And you'll know this from music. This is very, very prominent in music. I can give you lots of examples, but just a really simple one. Have heard of the song, Oh Happy Day? You know, Oh Happy Day. And so the lead singer sings, Oh Happy Day, and the crowd responds, Oh Happy Day, you know, when Jesus washed. And on it goes. I mean, there's a song by The Who called My Generation. You know, talking about my generation, you would have all heard that song. So the leader says a line and the backing vocals or whoever sing back, talking about my generation. You know, call and response. And it's all through music, even if it's just instrumental, you know, through blues and jazz and African spiritual music. You hear it everywhere, right? Through rock and roll, this call and response. And it's actually why, in the last few months, we've started a call to worship, even though we don't say, this is your call to worship, because everything we do doesn't come from our idea. It's everything we do is actually a response to Christ. So when we have a call to worship at the start, we often read a psalm, something that declares how good God is, what he's done, And then our response is to worship. Worship was never our idea, just like salvation wasn't our idea. God, the Bible says, while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. Call and response. And the whole universe is set up this way, us responding back to things. With call to worship, in essence, there's only ever one call to worship. This comes at conversion. We're in complete repentance. We admit to worshiping falsely. And we're trapped in ourselves. And then, the call of Christ comes and we respond. That's, the ultimate call to worship. But, week by week and day by day, a call to worship reminds us that coming together isn't our initiative. We didn't think this up. It's the same pattern in the universe. God said, and it was. God said, and it was. Well, it's the same pattern for our lives. And everything in our life will be created or destroyed by the words and thoughts we speak and the words and thoughts we believe. So how we respond when we think a thing or when we hear a thing, how we respond to that thought. That's what creates our lives. And in Isaiah 55, which I just read a minute ago, it's a call from God. Come, you who are thirsty. Pay attention. Come to me. Listen so that you will live. It's a call. And listening prayer is part of that call and response. Even though that section we're just sitting and listening, that's a response to God. I think it was last week, or it's this week, is 20 years since the church had their week of listening prayer. It was supposed to be a week of, a normal prayers all day long for 5 days. And yet when they got together on Monday morning, no one prayed. And they just felt, the Holy Spirit was asking them to be silent before God. And so they sat. They kept them sat. And it ended up going through till Sunday the next week. Monday to Sunday, it was about 7 days of sitting in silence before God. And then that's why we have this value in our church, because it was one of our identities, the fact that we have to come to God and listen. Listening is the first priority. And we've done some of that, but as we can always, there's always more of God and always more we can listen. But there's other calls. And there's always invitation to dialogue. This call and response. God calls and he invites us to listen and talk back. There's other calls. So we're discussing the first call and response in Genesis 1. And just by the time we get to Genesis 3, just two chapters later, there's another call. And it's the serpent. And the serpent comes to Eve and said, did God really say? There's another call. You get to choose. You get to choose which call you listen to, which one you respond to. There's more than one call. So the serpent comes and says, did God really say? The interesting thing about Satan, the evil one, our enemy, is in the Bible, he doesn't show up as the serpent every time. It's sort of, there's different ways that's written, and I think you'll find in your lives he doesn't always turn up as a snake in a tree. Sometimes he turns up as a family member, and sometimes he turns up as the TV, and sometimes he turns up as a newspaper. If this dialogue, if this call was easy, if it was like the cartoons where you had the angel sitting on one shoulder and the demon sitting on the other shoulder, and the angel says, yeah, do it. You've seen these cartoons, right? With the two people sitting on, when they're trying to make a decision. And the guy with the halo says, yeah, you shouldn't do that. And the red guy says, no, you should, this will be fun. Now, if it was that easy, if you actually had that, life would be simple. Because if you became a Christian, you go, okay, I know I'm supposed to listen to this guy. But it's not that simple, because it doesn't work like that. So Eve's mistake was she started the dialogue with the serpent. We all have temptation. We all have either thoughts or people speaking to us. The calls are always there, you know, different things. Eve's mistake was she started talking back. She started the dialogue, the call and response. And then you can read that discussion about them, you know, Satan just twisting the truth about what God did say or didn't say, and Eve negotiating around that. In the end, it affected her destiny. Her dialogue affected her destiny. See, Adam and Eve were destined to be in a garden forever, walking daily with God. And that response to the false call, that dialogue, altered that destiny, not only for them, as you know, for everybody. And every time you believe a lie, every time you start entering into dialogue with calls you shouldn't respond to, something inside of you dies. And as you know, every time you respond to truth or light, there's life. So on your salvation, when you responded to that call and you realized that, you know, the light of Christ, the gospel, the good news was true and for you and you're saved, you know, suddenly born again, new life. When you respond to a true call, there's life. When you respond to a false call, there's death. Something dies in there. And it's a choice. You get to choose. And the tip is don't engage in dialogue with the evil one. We have a good example of this because this reminds us of the story of Jesus being tempted in the wilderness. You know, Jesus is called the second Adam. So Eve came, the serpent came to Adam and Eve and issued a call, and Eve dialogued back and made the wrong choice. When the second Adam came and he was led into the desert to be tempted, Satan came and gave a call. Second Adam. Running it all through again, a similar scenario. And he said to Jesus, if you are the Son, if you are who you say you are, you need to prove it. That's what he said. You know, jump off this, you know, ledge or rock and get caught. Your angels will protect you. If you are the Son of God, you need to prove it. And if you are the Son, turn this rocks into bread. But Jesus just said, it is written. Jesus did something wise that we should do ourselves. He preloaded his answer. You know, my dad says when he's flying that, you know, on occasions something may go wrong in a plane. And at that stage, you don't have much time to sort it out. Have you seen the movie Sully where he had, you know, 2 minutes or whatever, 3 minutes, maybe less, to make a decision, do I go there or there? Boom. Just get it where you needed to get it. And people say to Dad, how can you make all those decisions in just a few seconds? You know, remember the engines went and he's just sitting there. I think he took about 30 seconds before he made his first command, let's go for the river. You know, they're just sitting there waiting, thinking, boom, let's go. And so people say to Dad or pilots, how do you make those decisions? And he says, well, it's not the 30 seconds you get in the air. It's the hours of training on the ground or the practices that you do, you know, or the time in the sim. It's the things you do before the incident that save you, not the things you do right then. So this is the same here. Jesus had preloaded his answers. So when the tempter came, when the call came, the response was, it is written, get away from me. He basically said, I'm not even having this conversation with you, because your starting point is incorrect. And you said, get away. But unfortunately, we as human beings, we can't bear to remain silent. We can't. And what is it about silence that we don't like? It makes us feel helpless. We rely on words to manage and control others, manipulate, or try and manipulate our own situation. And if we are silent, who will take control? Silence is intimately related to trust. Because when you're silent, you're trusting that God will take care of you. Our tongue is our most important weapon of manipulation. And a frantic stream of words flow out from us constantly. And that's sort of adjusted a bit with social media. It's more like written words rather than spoken words. But I like when Johnny talks about Facebook, he talks about it being your TV channel. You know, what you're trying to broadcast to the world about yourself. You know, you're putting up this picture of who I am. But everyone that knows on Facebook knows it's not actually true, right? You don't have to be on Facebook too long that you know that the best 1% of your life is up there. You know? Sorry. Anyway, moving on. If you have problems with that, please listen to last week's sermon before coming to talk to me. But anyway, Johnny talks about Facebook being your TV channel. You know, what you're pumping out there. Who I am. This is who I am. This is who I am. And talking is a bit like this. This constant stream of words trying to control your friends, control your circumstances, manipulate, you know, try and work out what's coming and sort of dodge in between it. Don't we? You don't do that? I'm sure people do this, right? Have you ever been in a situation where someone's accusing you from one way and, you know, you've sort of got two things going on. You have to try and, you know, weave your way through the middle by telling the right things to the right people at the right time. I must be the only one who does this stuff. You know, there's no lies or, you know, but just telling people what they need to do. Try and control where you are. Come on, you all do this. So we fear what others see, that we try to straighten out the understanding. You know, humans hate the fact that someone might not like them. So we're always trying to justify or explain ourselves. We're good at explaining ourselves. I need to help you understand my actions. Silence stops self-justification. We have to let God be our justifier. So there's this call and response. And when there's a wrong call or a false call, our response should be silence. So to help, because I'm actually talking about listening as a part of this call and response, I'm just going to mention a few things that are practical that will help us. These are good exercises to do. Help us with our response to God and help us with our listening. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. So what is meditation? It's not emptying your mind. That's the, when we think of meditation, we think of sitting cross-legged and trying to think about nothing. So that's not meditation. Meditation is listening to God's word, reflecting on God's works, what he's done for you, what he's done for others, rehearsing God's deeds, listening and obey, call and response. And another R, although the first one wasn't an R, ruminating on God's law. That's just churning that over within your mind, just thinking about it. Repentance and obedience are essential features in any biblical understanding of meditation. Repentance, obedience, isn't that call and response? So you hear a call, you repent, and you obey. Call and response. The world is full of it. You'll see it everywhere. And you read this all through the Bible, from King David contemplating God's ways, Jeremiah talking about the word of God shut up in his bones, Paul talking to Timothy, meditate so your progress will be evident to all, and Jesus withdrawing to a lonely place so he could be with his Father. It's as simple as hearing God's voice and obeying his word. It's creating an emotional and spiritual space which allows Christ into your life. We've all read the scripture in Revelation that says, I stand at the door and knock. A call. It's another call. You read it all through the Bible. Call and response. You know, some people say, I don't know what God's voice sounds like. Like, I can't hear from God. How do I determine that that thought in my head is from God, or it's my thought, or an enemy thought? You know, just, and I can understand this a little bit. When we were kids, teenagers, David and I, high schoolers, we were in the Baptist church, and they used to run fishing camps. And David and I loved fishing. And so we go to our dad and say, Dad, can we please go on this fishing camp? And he goes, I know what we'll do. We'll pray about it. We'll get in a circle, we'll pray, and you can hear from God what you should do. And I'm just thinking, fishing. Right? And he says, what do you think? I said, fishing! I want to go fishing! So I can understand that sometimes, you know, your desires are involved in what you might think. And part of that, you know, we walk by faith, and sometimes you will do things that you think God says and they're not. They're just your own desires or emotions. And there will never be a point in your life where you can go, bang, I now know what that is, and now I always listen to God. I mean, even Paul says we see through dark glassly. So, glass darkly. See through dark glass. And so, unfortunately, there's never a point in time where you hear a voice and know that's definitely God. And I know it's very sad because we'd all like that. But for those who are, you know, who think you're just starting, and there's a very easy way to hear God, is to read the Bible. It's very simple. If you can take the time to meditate or read your Bible just a few minutes a day, that will make such a huge difference in your life, how you think, how you act, that you won't have to bother about working out which thoughts are God and which are Satan. The truth's in the Bible. That's like step 1A. You can start there. And then obviously parents are a great source. You know, Christian parents. If you go to a Christian school, mostly your school teachers will be a great source of what, you know, God wants to say to you. And, you know, pastors. So don't get too caught up in, I can never hear God. You can make a choice to hear God by reading your Bible. And I listen to the daily podcast called The Daily Audio Bible every single day. And it's changed my life, honestly. And, you know, if you can just take 15, 20 minutes a day to listen to that and meditate on that, you won't worry about knowing what God has to say to you. You'll hear enough through the Bible. That's meditation. Study. Listening prayer leads to a complete transformation of a person. It replaces old destructive habits with new life-giving habits. In the end, it just teaches you who you're going to respond to, that call and response. Paul says in Romans that you should be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So that's study. That, you know, that's your intellect. If you study the Bible or listen to a podcast, it starts transforming your mind. Good feelings will not free us. Many of us in bondage to fears and anxieties because we don't take the time to renew our mind or to study. Ecstatic experiences will not free us. John 8 says, a knowledge of the truth sets you free. When you respond to God's call, Isaiah says, come who are thirsty. You know, in that verse it said, you know, why do you spend your time, your resources on things that can't satisfy? You know, we had that picture of Times Square with all the different movies and brands. I know I've spent time and resources on things that don't satisfy. And he just says, why? Why do you do it? In the Old Testament, they used to write the law on the gates and doorposts. Now we write it on our hearts. We study. You know, everybody studies. And we will conform to the order of the things being studied. And what we study determines our habits. You know, when I was talking about Daniel last year, I say we make our decisions and then our decisions make us. You know, the little things that you do every day end up making you to who. Well, same thing. It's call and response. What you consume consumes you. You know, you can remember these little things. What you consume consumes you. And meditation is devotional. Study is analytical. But both are seeking God's plan in your life. and silence, listening prayer, solitude. Jesus calls us from loneliness to solitude. I was talking about our fear of being silent. We also have a fear of being alone. It drives us to noise and crowds. Not for everyone, fair enough. We keep up a constant stream of words, even if they are inane. You know, that self-justification. Solitude is waiting for God to focus on Him and let Him fill us. So instead of talking, we listen. But simply to refrain from talking without a heart listening to God is not silence. There has to be that response there. There's an old proverb that says, those who open their mouths close their eyes. And the purpose of silence and solitude is to be able to see and to hear. Okay, these are five practical things that we can all do. You can do one a day through the work week. You could do them every single day, except it would take time. But it can help you either evaluate or measure your response. Evaluate the calls, measure the response back. One, pause and reflect. And some of these are practical. So next time you decide to make a purchase, check Facebook, work late, or engage in any habit that controls you, pause. Consider the urge and reflect upon it. Is it really the most effective use of your time or money? Is there more significant things you can accomplish with your limited resources? Two, review and record. It'd be an interesting exercise to journal your time and your money for a week. Just spend 5 to 10 minutes every night making some rough notes on your day. How much time did I spend working? How much energy did I put towards my family, my friends, or my faith? To what end did I use my financial resources this week? Where did I mean, God says, where your money is, there is a heart. That's a big indicator, your money. The hard evidence of your life's focus will become easy to diagnose and difficult to argue with when you see it on paper. Get some outside perspective. This is very good, this one. Ask a trusted friend, spouse, family member to speak into your life. Have you noticed any unhealthy habits in my life? This is not a comfortable one. This is the role of the critical friend. You know, they're not nasty critical. They're just telling you what you need to hear. And when they answer, don't get defensive. Look for truth in their response. Find time alone. Begin to practice moments away from the distractions of this world. You know, Henry Ward Beecher said, the first hour is the rudder of any day. And number five, find good examples. Proverbs 13:20 says, he who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffer harm. Surround yourself with people who are pursuing Christ. You know you become like who you hang around. That's why long enough people start to look like their pets. You never notice that? It's true, right? Don't you think the Queen looks like her dogs? No. You look at people, they look like their pets after a while. Have you ever noticed the way people walk? You just start taking notice. They walk the same way, they do. But if they don't, we'll cut this out so when it goes out, I don't get shot. But if you look at people do start to sort of act like their pets, they do. But most of all, people act like the people around them. You know, when I was a kid, I used to love, well, out of my home, because we weren't allowed to watch TV shows at home. But when I was a bit older, I used to like a show called Becker. It was a doctor. It's an old show, obviously. Most of you wouldn't have seen this show. Yeah, I used to love that show because he was the most sarcastic man in the universe. And I found out after a year or two, I was becoming more and more, I just stopped watching it. I was becoming like Becca. And I'm sarcastic enough as it is without, you know, encouraging it. And so, you know, if you ever listen to a self-help, you know, CD, they'll say, you know, your net wealth will become with the people you hang around with. And, you know, they say all these things, and it's all around you will become, you'll drive the same cars, you'll do the same things as the people you hang around with. I don't know how it works, but it just seems to be. That's why you have mentors in this world. That's why you look at families. You know, we're talking the other day in one of our, how we have like little idiosyncrasies that just looks like your dad or your mum, right? Because you become like who you hang around with. So you need to find good examples. That's where that saying comes from. You sleep with dogs, you get fleas. Okay? That's my favourite saying. So just remember that. And you find good examples. You find spiritual mentors. You know? Anyway, I'm done. Sorry, Tony. Now, I'm gonna email that list out, if that's okay. And I don't expect... I know what things are like. People say things and you never do them. But if you can pick one or two and the main point, if you can get into your head, call and response. One of our values, listening prayer, remember that. But just remember, where are the calls coming from and what are my responses to this call? And if a call is a false call, it's don't start the dialogue. Okay? Tony.
I'm here to get rid of the fleas. Oh, dear. Can I have the band, please? Why don't we just take a minute and reflect on that? And if you got some fleas, Jesus is able to get rid of those fleas. You need to spend a bit of time with the Lord in listening prayer or any sort of prayer as far as that goes. If you've been a bit neglectful of that, we'll just take a minute and just ask the Lord to help us do that. You right for that? Why don't you just bow your head right now? Band, do you want to start to play? We just reflect on our own lives for a second. Just ask the Lord to help us put things in order, as it were, and listen to Him. Father, just going to take this minute, this moment, Lord. Just reflecting, Lord, on our lives and ask You to help us to spend the time, pay attention to what You have for us, Lord God, and not go on our own merry little way. Father, if we have, Lord, we desire to repent this morning. If you need to repent, just repent. Just ask the Lord to forgive you for going on your own merry way and doing your own thing. Just ask the Lord to turn it around and spend some time with Him. Every day, if you can. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank You for Your grace to us now. Lord, You are so kind and so generous, and You forgive us our independence and our own worldliness, Lord God, of thinking worldly, not thinking spiritually. Lord, forgive us. We thank You that You do. Lord, help us to be living in repentance in regard to that and walking with You. Thank You, Jesus. New life. I think He wants to give a few new life this morning. Just let Him do that. Just a start 2017 with something better. Something closer to Him. Come on. Let's grasp a hold of Him now. I think He just said, stop considering yourself and start considering Him. If you love Me, you will obey me. Thank you, Lord. Father, I ask your power and presence on all of us here today. And as we go out, Lord God, you would just bless your people. Protect, guard, watch over, Lord, the little ones, the mature ones, the families, the marriages, Lord God. You would keep us all safe. You would keep us well, Lord. You would prosper us. Bring us success in our maturing and walking with you, Lord God. We thank you for your love poured out by your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing together.